so.
Call to order the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Public Safety. Colleagues, today is March 9th, 2015. We're convening for a public hearing on Senate Bill 5515, the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability Budget. And I will hand it off to Mr. Bender. You can tee it up for us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair and Subcommittee members. The Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability is the second of the three judicial branch agencies. It's also the smallest by far, and it has one employee that's employed half-time. What this agency does is it's an independent commission that investigates and acts upon complaints of judicial misconduct or disability. They are here today to present their budget request. We are also scheduled public testimony today, though I don't believe anyone has signed up as of yet, because we're expecting this to be a one-day budget hearing for this agency.
All right. Should we bring up Ms. Snyder, Ms. Collins, and Ms. Isaacs, please?
Thank you. Mr. Fagan's going to man our PowerPoint.
All right.
Chair, happy birthday to your daughter.
Oh, thank you very much. Big seven.
Am I invited to the party today? Is it today? It's happened this weekend.
Yeah, you missed it.
Senator Shields, I'm Susan Isaacs. I'm the Executive Director of the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. This is Linda Collins. She's a public member. This is Judy Snyder. She's an attorney, and she's the current vice chair. And she will be making the presentation, but we do have our PowerPoint, which Mr. Fagan's been good enough to man for us, and so I suppose we'll just go through that as Ms. Snyder goes ahead and makes comments, or we can just go through it now, whichever suits you.
It's your show. Dive
on in.
I think
we'll go ahead and go through this and get the whole overview, and then we can make comments. Is that what you'd like to do? That'd be great. So you see how many judges we have jurisdiction over, and it does not include municipal court judges, arbitrators, or administrative law judges, and that seems to be something that we have to explain to people quite a bit. But we certainly get enough complaints to justify the what we're doing. Thank you. And you see this chart. We have the three public members, three bar members, three judges. Everybody's a volunteer. We're very fortunate to have such robust assistance. And this is current. We just had Ms. Snyder re-upped in February.
All right. Thank you.
Now, it varies from year to year how many new complaints we get. And this does not mean that we don't have a lot more inquiries, because we get a lot of requests for packets, and I talk on the phone to a lot of people, and some people write in, and so I mean we get a lot more inquiries, but this means what were reviewed at the actual meetings that we have six times a year. We pride ourselves in staying up to date and timely, and we've been very capable of doing that. I mean it's a commitment that I make to the commission, but the last agenda was like 932 pages. We put it on a CD, which is fortunate because we have a really high-speed scanner, but these are very intensive agendas.
Okay,
so this one would be just an overview, and I know Ms. Snyder's going to come back and talk about this some more. This has to do with our POPs and whatnot. Oh, this is our current service level. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so then these are our POPs that we're asking for. And
can we stop right there?
Sure.
Take over.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, members of the committee, I would like to take over at this point because part of what we're before you on is a request for an increase of the FTE for our executive director. And I wanted Ms. Isaacs to present the information that is this part of the PowerPoint, because frankly, she is in the center of the action for everything that happens relative to this commission's work. She is an attorney with decades of experience, and her work as an attorney has really enhanced the value of what services she brings to the board. For many years now, she's worked as a half-time FTE. And from her salary, she takes care of all administrative services that are needed by the commission, including using her own staff to do the preparation that was just discussed, as in the last meeting, organizing and downloading 900 pages of documents for us to review. What's significant about this commission's work is we have absolutely no control over what comes into the office. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending how you look at it, Ms. Isaacs is the funnel through which all complaints are handled. And so she will often be the one who the complainants call when they have questions. They will seek her assistance in filling out the forms. They'll ask her a multitude of questions, which
Excuse me, Ms. Snyder, could you put your name on the record for us?
Yes, Judy Snyder.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'm one of the members of the Commission on Judicial Fitness, and my apologies for not having done so earlier. It strikes us that as the work of the commission unfolds, Ms. Isaacs, of all individuals, has absolutely no control over how many hours she works for the commission, because she has no control over how frequently she is called by complainants or, in fact, by the attorneys for the judges who are under investigation. And that's another significant impact on her time, because it's an ongoing process of communication. We also run into a situation where, unfortunately, if a complainant is disgruntled with the outcome of the commission's decisions, all of those reports, emails, communications go to Ms. Isaacs, and she does a very good job of shielding the commission from those types of communications from the community, and then presents it to us at an appropriate time at our meetings. What we're experiencing, unfortunately, is not reflected just by the raw numbers that you saw in the earlier PowerPoint of the number of complaints we have on a given year. We're now entering a cycle where we anticipate there will be three major prosecutions within the coming 2 years. We're in the process of selecting attorneys to represent the commission for purposes of those prosecutions. And as those cases are in the pipeline, both of investigation and then prosecution, Ms. Isaacs is the client. She's the one who the attorneys who represent the commission turn to for guidance. I cannot divulge any of the information in terms of what investigations are leading to these complaints, but two of them in particular are keyed up to be very contentious, highly litigious situations. And again, this is all going to fall on her shoulders. As a result of that, within the budget overview, although our current year budget is, biennium budget, excuse me, is $206,902, we are asking for increases that would do two things. We're asking for increases that would enable us to retain Ms. Isaac on a 0.75 FTE. And we are also asking for administrative support. That's why you see two different options. If the committee chooses to grant an increase in the executive director's FTE to 0.75, that will result in a budgetary increase over the biennium of $56,038. And with that increase, Ms. Isaacs will continue to provide staff support to the commission through her own staff. The other option is to hire professional services strictly for the commission to contract on a part-time administrative support basis. And over the biennium, that would add $27,600. While that might appear to be attractive because it would provide part-time support over that two-year period, in fact, that doesn't really reflect the workflow, which ebbs and flows. And so if the committee would approve an increase in Ms. Isaac's workload to a 0.75 FTE, we believe she's going to be better able to manage the workflow of the commission using her own staff rather than just having someone who comes in X number of hours a week, whether we're really busy at that point in time or not. And so we have come before you with an overview budget that requests an increase, with the commission's request being that it be the increase of Ms. Isaacs to a 0.75 FTE to handle what we anticipate will be a fairly crushing workload. Beyond that, I had no other comments prepared.
Okay, Ms. Snyder, is the nature of it that somebody's contesting a judgment that the board has made, and that's going to be litigious, or is it that you are reprimanding a judge and you think that that party might push back pretty hard?
We know that of the three cases that are heading towards complaints being filed against the judges, that those, at least two of those three, we know have attorneys and are preparing to respond. The one complaint has already been submitted, and the defense attorney is preparing a response. He just spoke to Ms. Isaac asking for an extension to do so. The other one, we're not at a point yet of having presented the other two to the judges, but taking into consideration the nature of the allegations, the complexity of the allegations, and quite frankly, unfortunately, the number of ethical violations that are raised, we know that's going to be an ongoing piece of information, a piece of work. So what will happen is, ultimately, there will be a hearing, and we will serve as the individuals, the board will serve as the individuals who will hear the evidence, and we will make a recommendation to the Oregon Supreme Court. We are not decision makers.
Okay. Representative Krieger.
Who actually does the physical on-the-ground investigation? In other words, I imagine you're located here, so it's yeah. Lakeview.
Yeah.
Is it all by phone, or does someone actually go down there and make contact, or what's going on?
Mr. Chair and Representative Krieger, that's a very good question. There's a multitude of ways it's handled. Part of it is in correspondence, where we advise the judge of the nature of the allegations and receive feedback from the judge who is under investigation. Recently, we have found it necessary to hire a retired attorney to do an investigation of a particularly complex set of factual issues. And we have been able to, for I think more than two decades now, obtain the services of counsel at a rate of $100 an hour, which is far
wow.
under. Yeah, it is. It's a real wow. It's far under market rate.
That's a lot of
just
money.
As those of us who are on the commission are volunteering
money.
Our time, the attorneys who are doing this work are almost volunteering their time. When it actually gets into the hearing phase, we have some historic data from two very contentious hearings that were held in the late 1990s. One of the hearings with investigation and the actual hearing itself, the fees were over $103,000. The other matter, the fees were over $115,000. I don't want to frighten you because those expenses are not built into this budget because we don't know where it's going to go. But I offer that to you because the magnitude of the work that goes into this process, as reflected by the billing records that demonstrate over 1,000 hours of attorney's time in the investigation and prosecution, in turn funnel into Ms. Isaac's office.
Follow up. The actual prosecution, is that done by the district attorney or the AG's office, and would it be done in Lakeview?
Actually, it would be done, I think, in the Portland office, in the Beaverton office.
Where the judge presides.
Okay. Thank you. Most of our work is done out of the Beaverton office in terms of what we do. The prosecution would occur in the county in which the judge resides. You use Lakeview as an example. And obviously that's for the convenience of the witnesses as well as for the parties involved.
And follow up. Yeah. And the prosecution then would be from the AG's office? Yeah.
No, actually we've used the private members of the bar at the $100 an hour rate. We've been able to secure that type of service from highly skilled but retired trial attorneys who have stepped in to undertake this in a situation which, frankly, they no longer have a conflict of interest pursuing a matter in front of a judge because they're no longer going to be appearing in front of that particular bench. And we've been very fortunate to have some highly skilled people who have stepped in and have undertaken the prosecution.
Rep. Krieger.
You mentioned two prosecutions that were over 100,000.
Yes.
What counties were those in?
The one was in Multnomah County, and the other one was in Marion County.
Okay, thank you.
Rep. Williamson.
I just wanted to clear up something for Representative Krieger. If there's a crime that's being alleged, then it would be the DA. But these are ethical violations, so it's a different process, and I think that's where the wires were being crossed there.
And maybe, Mr. Chair, co-chair, yeah. So you're not incurring those other costs then?
Right.
If it's a criminal thing, that's done by the
then
county?
It goes into the criminal process.
But
right.
The ethical's the other way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will say I'm pleased to say that of the three significant complaints that we're anticipating in the coming biennium, to our knowledge, none of them involve criminal behavior. But we are looking at serious ethical lapses.
Representative Gorsuch.
So once the hearing is done, did you say that it's referred then to the Oregon Supreme Court?
Yes, they're the final decision makers, okay. Representative Gorsuch. I think of ourselves more like a grand jury, okay. Where we collect the evidence, we make findings of fact, provide conclusions, hopefully provide a record that is clean of error with adequate, you know, references to the exhibits and the testimony. But ultimately, we are under the jurisdiction of the Oregon Supreme Court, and they make the final determination.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mrs. Snyder, what you're talking about 124 complaints in 2014. How many do you, find? Reach a conclusion or what do you say no or do you go to and how many go to the Supreme Court?
Mr. Chair and Representative Whitsett, thank you for asking that question because the raw numbers really don't communicate a lot. In the 4 years, I'm going to answer your question, but I'm do it anecdotally. In the 4 years that I have served on the commission thus far, I am aware of at least two judges who retired rather than go through a formal disciplinary process. Other matters have been resolved by letters of concern or trying to remember if we've done anything more serious like a reprimand.
A censure.
I'm going to ask Ms. Eisen.
No, censure was in 2013, so I don't think we've done any this biennium.
Okay. So, we have, in the last 4 years, not had any actual litigation where we've had a full-blown hearing.
4 years.
For the last biennium.
Yeah.
Actually, and I will say, frankly, in the 4 years that I've been on the commission.
Okay, thank you. Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
How does a disability case come about? Someone on the staff thinks that he's too old or having medical issues? Or how? Can you give me an example of what a disability review would be?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Whitsett. Without divulging enough information to reveal the identity of the individual, we had a disability situation come up approximately 2 years ago where the judge was inattentive to matters before him, was not getting things done in a timely manner, was not appearing on a timely basis for court proceedings, was engaging in behavior that appeared abnormal. And through communications with the presiding judge in the county in which that judge was seated, and the judge's attorney, and others who were concerned within the community. The judge chose to retire because he was having cognitive health issues.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Do you feel that we need a law to require judges to have annual physicals or something? Is that, do you think that this that could be a case?
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative Whitsitt, that's an insightful question. You know, I think to a certain extent the process polices itself.
Thank you.
And I'm not being naive about it.
Thank you for that answer. Mr. Chair, another question. Follow up. Thank you. Does the state provide funds for the judges being reviewed or anything like we know we do for any state employee? We provide them so much money for, you said it's going to cost us, is that, but that was for those, all those $100 hours for the attorneys. But.
Actually, Mr. Chair and Representative Whitsitt, we do not have funds to allocate for defense costs, so that is something that the judges would be shouldering themselves.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And I think, is that the end of your presentation?
It is.
Short and sweet. Thank Representative Williamson.
I just want to thank Ms. Isaacs for all the work you do on behalf of the state. I know you take a lot more on than we pay you for. So.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Linda Collins.
Yeah, I know. Sorry I was late. But thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Winters.
And I too want to thank you because, you know, when she talked about staff, she's talking about you assuming some cost that is normally not being done in our budgetary process, and I want to thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have nobody signed up for public testimony. Usually when there is a board that oversees the conduct of certain people, we generally tend to hear during the public testimony from some people. That might be an indication of how just and fair your proceedings have become.
Thank you.
So anything else for the good of the order? Mr. Bender, do you have a sense of what's on tap for the rest of the week, or should we ask Linda Gilbert about that?
No, I can help you with that. We're starting tomorrow. You're working on the hearing the budget of the Public Defense Services Commission, the third branch agency in the judicial branch. We expect that public hearing to last at least 2 days and possibly three, but probably just two.
She's in her service.
All right, good. Well, thank you very much for your service to the state. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
And I'm doing them.
This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.